Chapter 14 and verse 25. And when you found that, let's stand together, those of you who can. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. And we'll read down verse 35. The Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him." This is Jesus, of course. Strange thing he's about to do. Great multitudes were there. "And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Father, be your good pleasure today to help these dear ones who've gathered. We'd ask you to do so. I don't know how many have traveled and how far they've traveled, Lord, but we are like a hungry dog scratching on the door. We desire to be fed. We live in a dark and a wicked world, and in days that are darkening faster. Lord, we see so many fall. We hear bad news from every quarter. Lord, I pray today you'd encourage us. We would go back and fight the good fight. We would endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Lord, we'd finish the tower. We'd win the war. God, we'd do that which you've called us to do. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you today about counting the cost. Now, this is a strange thing, and sometimes you don't know at what point to, I guess, spring the central thought of a message. Sometimes you spring it too soon. People feel like they've already heard what you're going to say, and they kind of tune you out and just sit there on cruise control the rest of the way. But once you know something about Christ, as preachers, I know as preachers you'll understand this, and you know we are so hungry for helpers in our churches. We are so starving for somebody to drive a bus, for somebody to lead a song, for somebody to make a visit, for somebody to do something. We're so hungry for them that when anybody in our church seems to make any move or any inclination at all toward God, we're ready to put them to work. I mean, we're ready. In fact, we're out there and we'll look at somebody and, "Oh, I don't know if I could do that or not, preacher." And we'll say, "Oh, you know what, just try it for a while." But you know, here the Lord is, and He had what we want. He had great multitudes. They're following Him. They're already there. He has them at His feet. In fact, several times they would have made Him king, and He refused. He's backwards to the back. He couldn't have been. In some ways, I think the Lord had to be Baptist. In some ways, I think He couldn't have been Baptist, because there's no way we'd turn away what He turned away. But we do, and we think when we've got that big crowd, we've done it. This is what God wanted. This is what it's all about. They're here. We've got it. Hallelujah. Here we go. But Jesus looked out there and saw that whole crowd out there, and He said, "Now wait a minute. Before you go any further, Before you go any further, if you're going to serve me, I want you to sit down first and think about it. I want you to sit down and think first. If you're going to start serving me, can you finish serving me? Now, look what he says. There were great multitudes. He turned and said, If a man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, some people say, well, you've got to hate your father and mother, and that's easy to do when you're a teenager. All teenagers hate their father and mother. You know, they start out when they're little, about 5 or 6. My daddy can whoop your daddy. You know, my daddy, he's bigger than your daddy. My daddy's better than your daddy. Time they're 13, they're saying, your daddy can't be as bad as my daddy. Your daddy can't be stupid as mine. You won't believe it. No way is your mother as stupid as my mother is. That's how it goes, you know. So for teenagers, you'd say, well, it makes perfect sense to me. I understand all that. I hate brothers, sisters, father, mother. It's easy for me. But he's talking to people that are beyond the natural hatred that comes with those years. And I am kidding. I'm not, you know, I know my teen. I hope my kids don't hate me. These kids over here probably know whether they do or not. I don't even want to know. But he says this. He says, here's the same one. You say, well, why would he say hate father and mother? I mean, isn't he the same one who chided these Pharisees who made the tradition of God, the doctrine of God of none effect by their tradition in not taking care of their parents? He certainly didn't want you to abuse and write hate mail to your parents. He don't want you to leave your wife and forsake your kids. That's not what he's saying. Brother, this word hate means to put aside, to set aside. Why? To set aside from the focus of what God has called you to do. Doesn't mean that you sit around and think bad thoughts about them and you want a train to run over them. It doesn't mean that. But it means, friend, that if they come between what God has called you to do and you doing it, then you've got to set them aside and do what God says. And so what Christ is saying here, he's saying, friend, are you willing to serve me if it means you've got to leave mom and dad? Are you willing to serve me if it means every once in a while you've got to disagree with the wife? Are you willing to serve me if it means every once in a while you've got to put aside the kids? Some people can't serve God, brother. I'm telling you, they can't serve God till soccer season's over, then football season, then track, then baseball, then summer camp, brother. They can't serve God at all except the 2 or 3 Wednesdays a year their kids get off. This is what Jesus is talking about. Some people say, well, Lord, I'd love to go do that, but you know, Mama, she's got this, and I always take her to the this and take her to the that. Hey, brother, let me say, you can't serve God on leftover time. Brother, He wants prime time. I'm telling you, brother, listen, we wouldn't have Wednesday night ball games if Christians would quit going to them. Amen. We wouldn't have Sunday football if Christians would quit going to it. Amen. I'm telling you, if Christians would just obey God, we could shut down the NFL and NASCAR. Amen. I mean, some people think the only Christian holiday there is Daytona 500. Oh, listen, Jesus said, if you're going to serve me, it means that sometime you've got to say, no, son, you can't go. We got revival. It means sometimes saying, Dad, I can't go fishing with you. We got church service down there. It means sometimes saying, honey, you can't go tonight. We got visitation. It means on Saturday morning, everybody else running around, kids laying around watching cartoons, everybody else out on the lake. It means you're out there saying, hey, y'all come to church tomorrow. Bus be by 9:30, whatever ministry you have. I'm telling you, brother, Jesus said if you're going to serve me, it means you set aside father, mother, sister, brother, wife, whoever else it is, and you do my work. Then there's that last one. Thine own self also. Some people say, Lord, I'd love to serve you. And I mean to. I really do. I had a guy, this stuff like this gets me. It may not bother you, gets me. Had a guy the other day. Yeah, I pastor over so-and-so church. I said, well, I'm really not the pastor. I'm really an interim preacher. I said, oh. How long you been there? 8 years. Yeah. Oh, 8 years. 8 years and they hadn't figured out yet whether they want you? He said, well, I got a railroad railroad retirement kind of a thing. And if I take that church, I lose my railroad. Hey, brother, let me tell you something. You need to set thine own self aside and serve him. You see, friend, if you're going to serve God, you need to sit down and decide whether you're willing
ahead, Jeff.
You know what people need to do, some young people? I don't mean to pick on you. I love young people. I love young people. Until I got to this church, almost all I did was young people. Now, we got people at our church that do a lot of it. Now, I'm not as involved with them here as I have been. Love young people. But you know what would be a good idea if some young people would decide before school starts? Instead of waiting there and every time something comes up, deciding whether you're going to go to it or not. Wouldn't it be good if some young man, some young boy sat down and decide before school ever starts, I ain't going to the prom. Amen? I ain't going to them spring formals and dances and I'm not going to this. Wouldn't that just make it all easier? Because then when school started, the decision's already made. The turmoil's already gone. I mean, you just go through school, decisions are made. Wouldn't it be a good idea if everybody in their heart and life just decided Sunday morning's church time? Amen. I mean, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier? And on Sunday morning, you wouldn't have to sit there and grind around about it and pine away about it and just make decisions. You say, wait a minute, let me just sit down and count the cost and decide Sunday morning's church time. And while you're at it, Sunday night's church time and Wednesday night's church time and visitation is church time and revival's church time and camp meeting's church time and whatever else God calls is church time. And whatever's left, I'll give to mom and dad. I'll give to the sweetheart, and I'll give to the kids, and I'll take a little time for, and by the way, self is last, I'll take a little time for myself. Oh, so many, I'm going to serve God when I retire. You're a stinking liar. If you ain't serving Him now, you're not going to start when you retire.
Right.
Now, brother, I'm telling you. You'd say, I'll start giving when I got a little money. No, you won't, brother. Or brother, if you'll steal a dime, you'll steal a dollar. If you'll steal a dollar, you'll steal a thousand. I'm telling you, if you're not serving God, you're not going to serve God.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, yeah. Count the cost. Count the cost. Sit down and say, God, starting today, I'm going to serve You. And I'm going to decide right now that whatever Your work is over my work. My work sits down, Your work stands up. What's left is mine. Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said, honor father and mother. He said, leave your father and mother, cleave to your wife. He's, take care of your kids. A man that don't take care of his kids is worse than an infidel. We know that. The Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. He's not talking about neglecting anybody. He's talking about not neglecting God for them. First thing He says, you must forsake father, mother, sister, all those things. Secondly, He says, you've got to bear your cross. Look with me, if you would, in verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Yeah.
Some folks are willing to serve God as long as church is growing. As long as money's coming in.
Go ahead, Jeff.
As long as everybody likes what you're saying. Some folks are willing to preach as long as the amens are coming around. But when it comes to that cross bearing,
that's rough, man.
When you have to make that tough visit, when you have to go out there, Brother Durbin,
been there, done that.
Knowing that you might lose 30 or 40,
I did.
Pastor, have you ever knocked on a door and no? And when you walked out of that house, half your church may be gone.
Yeah.
It's easy to serve Him, brother. Yeah. When you follow up visiting the crowd that's coming in. That bearing that cross. To say, hey, you're a reproach to the Lord in this life you're living. And you can't be a member of this church that way. Are you willing to serve? You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if before you ever start pastoring, you'd sit down and decide, Lord, I'm willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't count the cost as you build. That's another Baptist invention. Bonds and stuff. Count the cost before you start building. Because if you start to build and you can't finish, you are a mockery. Be honest with you, I don't mean to offend nobody. I'm so sick of hearing I used to be. You go out and visit them. Oh, yeah, boy, I tell you, yeah, I got a Bible in there.
beside my cigarettes. Just laying on the table. See it over there? Beside that, well, just never mind that beer can. It's right there on that table. See it? Oh, I read it all the time. I used to be a deacon.
Used to be.
Yes.
I used to pastor a church.
Yeah.
used to. You know what happened? Somebody didn't count the cost. They started serving Jesus on credit. They started serving Jesus with the idea and the mindset that it would just go okay. But I got news for you, friend. Jesus didn't say count the cost in case these things happen. He said count the cost because they will happen. Because, friend, let me tell you something. You will have to leave mom and dad. You will have to say no to the wife. You will have to say no to the kids. You will have to say no to your own little trips. You will have to stand up in church when you're the only one there and wonder if it's going to happen. You say, why would God put somebody through that? I don't exactly know why, but I know this. He does it. You take 10 churches and you'll do it at least 10 times. Amen. That's the way it is. Bear the cross. Let me ask you something. Listen, a man sit down, he's thinking about, and I know how it goes. Some church has called you. Man, they want me. Woo, that feels good to be wanted. You don't lie, you know it does. They want me. All them other preachers out there, they want me. And all of a sudden, the dreams of sugar plums come in. Well, let's see. And you go by there and you scope that land out and you begin thinking, now, where could we build? Are we going to have to sell, or do you think we can make something out of this place?
Yes.
That's the thoughts that come. And we're already counting the cost of growing. Hey, brother, but it is very uncommon that a man, when he takes a church, says, Lord, I wonder what tragedies are going to come by this place. Lord, what are my heartaches going to be here? Lord, what troubles are going to come to this church? What kind of problems are lying in there right now?
Right in there.
That's not how we think at all.
No.
But that is how Jesus thinks.
Amen.
And so he said, count the cost. He said, count the cost. You don't want to start that building if you can't. Look what he says, verse 28. Which of you intended to build a tower, says not down first to count the cost, whether they have sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after you've laid the foundations, not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Finish the tower. Verse 31, he says, fight the war. The Bible says we have an adversary. The Bible says he's a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
That's it.
What man is it that sits down before taking a church and says, Lord, I'm willing to fight the fight. I want to build something. I want to be yours. I want to be used by you. I want to totally be used by you. And I'm willing, no matter who that costs me, no matter what that costs me, no matter who I have to fight, no matter what goes on, no matter how this church goes good, this church goes bad, no matter what, I'm willing. Let me give you an example. Look over in Mark chapter 10, if you would. Totally backwards to the way we do things. Now, you know, I'm as Baptist as I ever was a Baptist. I don't pick on the Baptist. I wouldn't want to be nothing else. Amen? Be Baptist. I'm happy to be a Baptist, but we got our problems. We do have our little funny stuff about us. They said unto him, this is James and John. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, the other on thy left in thy glory. Of course, Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. You know what he's saying? He's saying is those that sat with me on the right hand and on the left in that life are going to be those who gave it all in this life. You don't know what you're asking for. You're asking for the reward, but you don't know what the labor is. You're asking for the wages, but you don't know what the work is. You don't know what you're asking. Somebody say, Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to put me in ministry. I want you to let me help people. The Lord says, fine, but do you know what you're asking? Do you know what it'll cost? Are you willing to pay the price? Let me say this. He does want you to do that. He does want you to bear the cross. He does want you to build the tower. He does want you to fight the war. But He doesn't want you to go into it blind and not looking and not seeing and not counting the cost. He wants you to go in it knowing what it is and knowing what it'll do to you and knowing what it'll cost you. And He wants you to go into it anyway.
And He wants you to succeed. And He wants you to win. And He wants you to sit there with Him in glory. And we're not talking about salvation. Salvation's free. We're talking about being a disciple. Look what it says here. You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Look what they said. And they said unto Him, we can. Now, one of two things here. Either they had already thought this through, or they didn't think about it at all. Because they gave a very fast answer. He said, boys, y'all want to reign with me? Fine. Can you take what I'm going to take? Can you go through what I'm going to go through? Can you suffer what I'm going to suffer? Can you drink what I'm going to drink? What are you talking about drinking? I'm talking about drinking vinegar on the cross, brother. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Yes, we can. Anything, Lord. That's a big church. That's a big salary. I mean, that last fellow of ours making $80,000. I can take it, Lord. I can take it.
I can get it.
I can do it. I make as much as Steve Allen. Amen. I could do it. Oh, listen, I can take it. And look what he says. Look at verse 39. They said unto him, we can. Jesus said unto them, you shall. You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I'm baptized withal, shall you be baptized. And they did. In fact, in Acts chapter 12, the Bible says Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church.
Yeah.
There went old James.
Watch him. Yeah. Look at him.
First pastor of the first church in Jerusalem. Lost his life.
Yes, sir.
For his testimony.
Yes, sir.
I wonder, had James thought when he said, Lord, I want to sit on your right hand, and Jesus said, can you do what it's going to cost? James said, I can. I wonder if James had thought about the possibility. You know, there's an interesting statement when Herod was interviewing Jesus after Pilate sent him over there. The Bible says he asked him of his doctrine and his disciples. Why was he interested in his disciples? Acts chapter 12, we find out. Well, in the same passage, he puts Peter in jail. Of course, the Lord breaks Peter out. You say, well, that's what will happen to me. Well, maybe. Maybe, but you don't know that. The Lord doesn't promise you everything's going to be easy. In fact, the Bible says, if you would, look in verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. You can be saved. You can go to heaven. But you cannot be my disciple. The Bible says, whosoever putteth his hand to the plow and looking back, listen to what it says, is not fit but the kingdom of heaven. You know what then a man ought to do before he puts his hand to the plow? He ought to spend some time sitting in the barn looking out over the field.
Yes, sir.
And decide whether or not he's willing to stay with it.
Amen.
Till the whole field is plowed. Now, it's not popular in our day when somebody comes along and says, preacher, I believe I'd like to do something in the church. We're so hungry for help that we say, oh, yes, brother, get right in there. But you're making a mistake. I've used several men too soon. I thought, well, I'll help them. I'll keep them encouraged. They'll be all right. No, they won't. Not too long ago, I was driving a bus. I was so distracted by, just to be honest with you, difficulties. I kept driving by the stops. Little kids, my stop. Turn around and go back. Drove by the next one. Had a young preacher boy back there with me. He knew some of the trouble he was dealing with. After all the kids got off, I looked at him. I said, "Son, before you start, you need to sit down and decide whether you can go through this or not." God does want you to succeed. He does want pastors to pastor. He does want missionaries on the field. He does want Sunday school teachers out. Oh, but dear friend, if you're not willing to sit down first and decide whether you're going to go in there when it's hard. See, we get this idea, I'm going to teach Sunday school. All the little kids are going to get saved and everybody's going to listen and the parents are going to love me. And they do for about a week. But then you're into this thing and while you're praying, they're turning the lights on and off. They're not listening. They're fighting each other, feeling each other's legs under the table, every other kind of thing. You say something about it, and here comes Mama.
Yeah.
And you get blessed out. That's what they call it, you know.
Blessed out. Yeah.
Blessed out. And all of a sudden you think, why did anybody want to do this stupid stuff for? Why do I want to put myself through this? Y'all decide that first. The reason you want to put yourself through that is because in all of that trouble, in all of that mess, there really are some little kids there that you can win to Christ. But you can't win them to Christ if you're tore all to pieces every time something bad happens. And if you're on the verge of resigning every week, you can't stay focused on what you're doing.
Right.
That's why it's important before you decide you're going to serve God to sit down for. You know, I sat down the other day and just looking at bills and stuff. I sat down, I said, okay, we're going to get paid, you know, on the 12th and on the 19th. And I got this bill coming, and okay, now I can't pay. I can pay that one, but that, no, I'm going to have to wait till the 19th to pay that one. Y'all understand that? Y'all have to do that, or that's just me? Y'all are all independent Baptists, aren't you? But how many of us sit down? You know, I'd love to have a bus driver at my church because I'm driving myself right now. I'd love to have a bus driver right now. But if I get a volunteer, I've learned my lesson. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to say, sir, now I'm glad to have you if you want to drive the bus, but you need to sit down and think about this. When that guy on that dirt road that we drive by comes out there and cusses you out because he says he's got asthma and you drove too fast down his dirt road, you going to be willing to drive next week by his house? I mean, I'm just saying before you, it's backwards, I know it's backwards. I'm just saying before you get involved in the Lord's work, rather than going part way and just quitting, won't you sit down and decide if you can take it? Now, you know what the natural question is? And I'll be done after this. But Jeff, how do I know if I can take it? Isn't that a fair question? Lord, how do I know if I can take it? And I found this to say, you know what, Lord? I know what the possibilities are. I know that I gotta go. I know that I've got to set my family in such a way that the service of the Lord comes first. I know whether I can do that or not. That's not that difficult to decide. Whether you're gonna go to church on Sunday or not, that's easy to decide. And I can make up in my mind, Lord, am I willing to serve you if people chew me out? I can decide that now. Lord, am I willing to take a chewing? Lord, am I willing? Am I willing? Am I willing? You say, Lord, I don't know if I'm willing to do everything. I don't know if I'm willing to do everything, but Lord, I tell you this, I'm willing to try. And with your help and through prayer, I commit, Lord, that I will pray and I will try my best to go through everything you put me through if you'll help me. And you've got a covenant like Abraham had. I tell you this, you'll succeed. Count the cost. Count the cost. If every person who served God would do this, we would quit embarrassing Him. You remember back in the 80s when everybody was building churches on bonds, and in the 90s they were auctioning them off. Now we got everybody who stand up so fast to surrender to everything. And 3 weeks later, God has led them a different way. No. They just haven't counted the cost. Amen. Serve God, but count the cost.